Friends, good morning. Welcome to worship on this third Sunday of Advent. We are delighted to see each of you. Welcome. As always, there are announcements in your bulletin insert. We invite you to take a look at those. Among those I would like to welcome to, there he is. To welcome to church today is Ethan Wright, who has been away from us for about 10 months. Ethan has been on deployment as a Marine in Central America. We've prayed every Sunday for you aloud, dear friend, and are so delighted that you're back and we've taken you off the prayer list. Except for the part where we're thankful. Welcome. Please read in the insert concerning some of these things. Our youth are making calendars available for 2018. The price we pay to purchase these is to go to our ministry support here that they have been part of. There are devotional resources available to you for your daily use in 2018. Sue Ellen Glover is back there, and if you're not clear on what's here, be sure and see her for at least some of them. Christmas Eve happens 1 week from today. You knew that. Let me make you aware aloud that we have, as we do every year, 7:30, Christmas Eve, the Festival of Lessons and Carols. A beautiful service filled with readings from the scriptures that pertain to this season, the singing of Christmas carols together, and some marvelous musical offerings from our choir and our organist. You will want to be here if at all possible, and to invite friends if you can. This year, our Board of Outreach has begun, led us into a new way of doing preparation for this event. We are offering free tickets. And we would like for everyone who can to have one, please. This actually becomes an instrument of outreach into the community. It helps us to prepare for how many are coming. It helps us know in particular how to prepare for how many children are here. We register those ahead of time as well. Many will respond to this positively, and we ask you to get one as well and to invite your friends to do the same. You will see the website address on your bulletin insert. Please go there and get one. If you'd rather not do it that way, please see Stacy today following the service. And following the service today, we are having a reception to honor and give fresh welcome to all of those who have joined our congregation as new members in 2017. It's a good group of folks, great opportunity for us to be welcoming and becoming friends and deeper friends, and a way to say thank you to them for joining us. Please stay for that if at all possible, following which we all come back to the sanctuary and sing Christmas carols together. An informal and delightful time. We hope you can be part of it. And now, dear friends, the hour of worship begins. We lift our expectant hearts to receive every new gift that the love of God would give today. Will you join me, please, in the responsive call to worship? Do not fear. Do not let your hands grow weak.
Lord God, rejoice over you with
the Lord will renew you in his love and exult over you with singing.
Thank you.
rise if you are able. Almighty God, Author of eternal light, lead us in our worship this day, that our lips may praise you, our lives bless you, our meditations may glorify you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
And our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy.
Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water course in the desert.
Thank you.
Our first reading is from 1 Thessalonians. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of grace and peace sanctify you wholly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
you pray with me, please? Holy God, we are grateful that this season recalls to mind so much that is good. For the music of this season, for lights in the darkness, the people we cherish, for the truth of God with us in the world, and all the ways it invites us to our more worshipful and more charitable selves. And yet for many this is a painful season, and it is painful for some of us here. For those who are in grief, those with difficult memories to bear, those who are overburdened, those who feel isolated and estranged. As we recall the Holy Child who came new into the world, may unexpected new gifts come to those who need them most. Especially in this season, we pray for the homeless, for those who feel unwanted and unwelcome, for the abused, for those who mourn, for those who see too little reason for gladness or hope. May your love toward them come newly alive in our love for them, and may we be among those of your children who bring kindness to those who are hungry for kindness, and hope to those who long for it. We pray now for these: Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Bob Simpson, Dottie Kassler, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Shar Mohammed, Valerie Nebbia, David, Claudia Lima, Dorian, for Julie and Joe Hansen, for Bob, Barb, Jeff, for Brandy Tam, for Tim Rushton, for Barb, for Laurie Mattson, for Dawn May, Kim and Jason Weaver, Nancy Krivak, for the family of Mary Lou Burley, for the people of Honduras, for John Wallace and the Jones family, and for those of us who face loss on this holiday season. Now let the silence be filled with our prayers and also with our deep listening for the word of your Spirit. All of these, our praises and petitions and our longing, we offer to your love in simple trust and in the name of the one to whose coming we journey, praying in the words that he gave us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, our kingdom, thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Please stand with me for our gospel lesson. This is the gospel according to John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Judeans sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to interrogate him. "Who are you?" they asked. He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "Who then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have the answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now his questioners had been sent from the Pharisees, and they interrogated him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of the Lord. Now I invite the rest of the children to come forward as we sing "For Time Is Children."
tell me what you do to get ready in the morning? What do you do to get ready, get ready? What are some things you do?
You brush your teeth.
You brush your teeth. What else?
Eat breakfast.
You eat breakfast.
It's our personal life, and personal life is our personal life. Your personal life is your personal life. I think you'll be fine with just knowing yours. Thank you.
Oh. So Andrew is saying he does certain things that he wants to keep personal, and I might do different things in the morning. Yeah, that's how I'm going to translate that. Good. Okay, so we each do different things. Let's see. Emmanuel, what do you do in the morning?
Tell your mom you're going to wake up and then stay in bed.
When it's time to get up, you kind of look like you might get out of bed, and then your mom or your dad comes back maybe, and you're still in bed. Yeah, you got to get dressed. There's all this stuff about getting ready. Let me ask you this question. When you're getting ready to now go out the door and it's a snowy winter day in Michigan, what kind of things do you need to remember? What do you need to remember?
To get your coat on.
Oh, yes, you need to have your coat. Let's find our coat here. Emmanuel's coat. Okay, you need to have a coat. Good. What else?
Snow pants.
Snow pants. Yes. Snow pants. Okay. There's a lot of things to get ready.
Gloves.
Gloves or mittens. Yep, you need those. Good. Let's see, what else? What else do we need?
A hat.
Good. Okay, I have one more thing on our list. What else do we need?
Boots.
Some of us who have moved from the South are learning about all these pieces to get ready for the winter, all this snow. We have to have all these pieces about getting ready. Getting ready. Now, at my house, it's the same things. It's the snow pants, it's the coat, it's the boots, it's the mittens, it's the hat. Do you think my kids get it on all by themselves without thinking about it, without help from the mom? No. Even though we put this on every day, we have to be reminded of all of the pieces to get ready. Yeah. But we do it every day. There's something about the habit of getting ready. And sometimes we know all the pieces, but we don't quite get it done. But we know we have some things to do to get ready. We've been talking in church about getting ready for Jesus to come, for Jesus' birthday. Let me tell you how many hours and minutes we have. We have 168 hours until Christmas. We have 10,080 minutes until Christmas. And we have some getting ready to do. Some getting ready to do. And the getting ready we do is we hang out close to the light that Pastor Stacy talked about. Being close to the light. That means hearing the story. And sometimes we have to hear the story over and over and over again for it to be part of our hearts and in our minds. And we sing songs about the light. We have kiddos reminding us, get ready, get ready, get ready for the baby. So I invite you this week, as we have just a few more days and a few more hours to get ready, that you'll be thinking about, how can I have my heart ready? Maybe it's saying sorry. Maybe it's listening to the story again in a different way. But let's get our hearts ready. Will you pray with me? Will you stick your hands way above your head, way up high? Stretch them out as far as you can go. Let's do both hands. Repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus coming as a baby. Help us get ready. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past Friday, I stood in front of the life-size nativity scene at Daly Plaza in downtown Chicago, and I heard someone marveling over the fact that the baby Jesus was there in the manger. At first, I thought the person was perhaps saying that because it's still Advent and not Christmas yet, and maybe he thought they should have waited to put the baby in the manger until Christmas Eve. But then the person with him said, well, they take him out at night. And I realized that the guy's surprise over the baby in the manger was not a liturgical issue, but a pragmatic one, because people love to steal the baby Jesus out of nativity sets. The woman was telling the man that they take the baby Jesus away at night so no one will get him. But I knew something that couple didn't seem to know. I knew that baby Jesus was chained down. He's been stolen 3 times in the 33 years that nativity scene has been set up. And after it happened the last time, the God Squad, that's the team of people who put together the nativity scene and maintain it, the God Squad bolted that baby in. I guess that's what you have to do to protect your property these days. Lock it down. All the rest of the figures were there too, of course. Mary kneeling in her blue robe. Joseph off to the side, very secondary figure. The angel standing near, the shepherds and their sheep, and the wise men kneeling with their gifts. They were all there making their silent witness to the Christ child at the edge of the hustle and bustle of the Christkindl market. Our Advent scriptures tell a story every year of a witness who never makes it into our nativity scenes. You will never see John the Baptist in the crowd around the creche. Yet the wisdom of the church through the ages insists that we cannot celebrate the baby in the manger without first hearing John's voice crying in the wilderness. And every third year, the lectionary, which is the cycle of scripture readings we and churches around the world follow, every third year, the lectionary deals us not one, but 2 stories of John the Baptist. 2 Sundays out of the 4 Sundays of Advent, we listen to the voice in the wilderness. Last week, we heard Mark's version. This morning, we hear John's. John's gospel, like Mark's, does not include a nativity narrative at all. He starts the story at the beginning, the very beginning, echoing the very first words of Scripture in Genesis 1. In the beginning, he writes, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John's nativity is not a birth scene, but a dawning. Morning has broken. A new day has come. This nativity story goes on. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. John's testimony was a threat to the established powers, so they sent their temple representatives to interrogate him. But no matter what they asked him, he did not give them the answers they demanded. Later, Jesus would come with his own testimony, claiming his identity with power. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus would define himself as I am. But John is very clear, too, about who he is. He repeatedly says, I am not. I am not the Messiah, not Elijah, not the prophet. He himself was not the light. He came to testify to the light. But they pressed, who are you? And then he told them, I am just the voice. To be a voice is no little thing. We have seen the power of it. We have heard the power of it in our own time, with people breaking silence to tell difficult stories, to shine a light, to say, me too. To tell a truth that threatens the powers can come at great cost. And yet, as we have seen, when one person testifies to the truth, another one finds her voice too, and then another, and then another, and the powers shake, and the light shines, and a reckoning begins, and new hope emerges. But it is not without pain. It is no small thing to be a voice. It is no small thing to bear witness to the light when the world is so dark. It is no small thing when the powers push back, asking, who do you think you are? What do you have to say for yourself? It is no small thing to tell the truth and bear the light and risk the cost. In Greek, at the root of both the noun witness and the verb testify is the word from which we get our English word martyr, a witness who suffers for his testimony. And those two words, witness and testify, are used 45 times in the Gospel of John. To bear witness to the light, to bear witness to the truth, when that truth threatens the powers, always carries risk. I am just the voice, John said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. The temple representatives didn't like the sound of that. Those who depend on the status quo for their privilege and their power never want to hear that things are changing. They don't want to have to make things straight. This is what you do to protect what you have. You lock it down. So the temple representatives did what people threatened by the truth often do. They questioned the legitimacy of the truth teller. Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? They asked him. And then he told them something just as scary as the truth. He broke their lock by pointing to the limits of their knowledge. Among you stands one whom you do not know. The one who is coming after me. He didn't tell them the name of the one who was coming, or when he was coming, or where to look for him. Maybe he didn't know The next day, he would even go so far as to say, "I myself did not know him." This not knowing, this willingness to admit ignorance and to push the religious powers to recognize the limits of their knowledge, this not knowing is a brave way of being in a world where power seems to rest on certainty. Against the smug, reductionist impulses of the authorities, John presses, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." Thing is, John himself grew up knowing an awful lot. His father was a temple priest, part of the religious establishment. Surely John grew up knowing a lot about Torah and about the teachings of the priests. He was a part of the religious center. He grew up just like the priests and Levites who now questioned him, knowing a lot about God. But somewhere along the way, something changed for John. He allowed his certainties to crack open. He allowed space for new light to break through without having to know when it would come or how or from where. And then he found himself standing before the temple representatives, testifying to that light and saying, "Among you stands one whom you do not know. I myself did not know him." There is an impulse in our culture. Maybe it's an impulse in our own hearts. Maybe it's a natural part of being human. There is an impulse towards certainty, an intolerance for ambiguity, a fear of mystery. We get attached to our answers. We lock down our understandings without realizing that we're the ones who have gotten locked in. We fear the unknown. We resist change. And we build our little systems of control, our politics, our dogma, our fixed views of ourselves, of others, all our ways of defining and reducing. We defend against changing our thoughts, changing our beliefs, changing our ways. But it is the things we're so sure of that keep us from learning and that keep us from growing and that keep us from seeing the things we don't expect. And now there is a voice. Make a way. Clear a path. Maybe there are things you thought you knew about God or about yourself, or about other people, or about the way the world works. Maybe there are things you thought you knew that you need to hold a little looser. Maybe even let go. Make a way. Clear a path. Or maybe you have long lived with a sense of uncertainty. It's not your certainties that you cling to, but your doubt. You haven't been able to think about God with anything but doubt. Or maybe it's your own life that you have no clarity about, where you're headed, or who you'll be, or who you'll be with, or what you'll do. And maybe you're so accustomed to living with this doubt or ambiguity that this is what you have an attachment to. This has become your certainty. John's word is for you too. Make a way. Clear a path. You do not see it now, but among you stands one whom you do not know. God is not shackled to our beliefs like some nativity set Jesus. God is also not stolen away by our inability to believe the way we think we ought to. There is a kind of seeing that involves a letting go. The light does come, but it doesn't always show up when or how or where we expect. Many years ago, I spent every Tuesday afternoon leading a kids' club for disadvantaged kids at a trailer park in South Georgia. It was a barely controlled chaos every week. I would go out there with a handful of women from my church there to tell a little Bible story, play some games, make some crafts, and share some snacks. One Tuesday in Advent, I had this sweet, tidy little lesson all planned about the Prince of Peace and how we could be peacemakers too. Only when I got there, an 11-year-old girl with fire in her eyes was telling a 10-year-old boy she was going to beat him up when we were done. And throughout the lesson, those two continued to threaten each other while all the kids around them cheered them on. I was certain that what I was doing there that day, what I did there every week, was absolutely irrelevant to them. They had no use for any of it but the snacks. But in one final act of futility, I went ahead and handed out the little peacemaker certificates I had prepared with all their little peacemaking suggestions. Read the Bible, count to 10, take a deep breath. I knew it was pointless. These kids were ready to fight, and they had no use for my little lessons. Only to my surprise, the children began reading those peacemaking suggestions out loud. And then one little hand lifted up, "Miss Stacy, I want to be a peacemaker." So I went over and I wrote her name on the certificate. "Miss Stacy, I want to be a peacemaker too," another child said. And then suddenly, all these hands that knew how to fight, began to wave their certificates in the air and call out, Miss Stacy, sign mine. I want to be a peacemaker." And the next thing I knew, there were 20 kids clutching certificates that said they were going to try to help make peace on earth. I looked around and realized I don't know the things I thought I knew. I was out there trying to shine a light, trying to be the light. But that light was already there. That light flamed up when I didn't expect it. And for all my knowing, I almost missed it. "Among you stands one whom you do not know. Get ready." In hope, in faith, in joy, we make our offerings now. these gifts. Take our lives. Take our church. Shine your light through them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Share the light by sharing peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.